Welcome to the Finding Freedom with Food podcast. I'm Cindy Fox, certified intuitive eating counselor, coach, and registered health professional. If you've spent years struggling with food and body image issues, and you're tired of having stress around food control your life, I'm here to help. Here on Finding Freedom with Food, I teach you how to step away from dieting, learn to trust yourself with food, and eat intuitively. Each week, I'll be dismantling unhealthy diet culture practices that are keeping you disconnected from your body's innate wisdom, and I'll be sharing my best tools, strategies, and mindset shifts to help you rebuild the peaceful, sustainable relationship with food and your body that you were born to have. In addition to this podcast, I'm always sharing free resources on my website, findingfreedomwithfood.com, and social, so find me at finding.freedom.with.food on Instagram and finding freedom with food without the dots on other social platforms. Eating really can be effortless, pleasurable, and fun again. So if you're ready to get reacquainted with the intuitive eater inside of you, let's dive on in. Well, hey there, and welcome back to Finding Freedom with Food, where we focus on helping you step aside from restrictive dieting, reconnect with and rebuild trust in your body's cues, and create a healthy and sustainable relationship with food. I'm your host, Cindy Fox, and my goal is always about helping you improve your overall physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Now, today's topic is one that so many struggle with, and that is emotional eating. So many of my clients come to me for coaching to help them stop using food to manage negative emotions. So what comes to mind and what feelings come up for you when you think about emotional eating? Now, you may find that the concept of emotional eating holds a lot of negative connotations to it, right? It might bring up feelings of guilt and shame, a belief that you simply can't control yourself around food, that you just need more willpower, and that there's something wrong with you when you use food as a source of comfort. Here's what I want you to know. Eating in response to emotions can be a perfectly normal thing to do at times. I mean, eating really is emotional, right? Food is not just nutrition and fuel for our bodies. It's a part of our history, our culture, and our family life. Food is something that's meant to be enjoyed for the taste and the pleasure that it brings us, as well as the vitamins, minerals, and the fiber that it provides. And cooking and eating are all ways in which we connect with others and care for ourselves and the people that we love. Now, it's actually quite normal to associate food with comfort. So think about a hot bowl of soup on a cold and blustery day. It's super comforting. Or making your grandmother's homemade mac and cheese recipe, which can evoke nostalgic feelings and feel really comforting. And sometimes eating a bowl of ice cream after a long, hard day at work can also feel quite comforting. And it's not a big deal when we do this from time to time. Eating is also a common response to resisting negative emotions, and doing so, it is actually a coping skill. However, it's an avoidant coping skill instead of an active one. Not a big deal when we do this occasionally, but when we are using food as our main coping strategy for managing negative emotions, this can be harmful. So when food is being used in a way where it doesn't leave space for other forms of coping, that's when emotional eating becomes problematic. The reality is, eating doesn't resolve the issue driving the underlying emotion, and it often adds another layer of emotional discomfort when we feel judgment, guilt, and shame for eating. So emotional eating becomes a problem when it's your only coping mechanism, when it keeps you from actually addressing and processing your emotions, when you're doing it to avoid uncomfortable feelings or situations, and it's silencing your unmet needs. Also, if you're flooded with feelings of guilt and shame when you do use food to cope with emotions, well, then we also know there's a problem going on. And of course, when it's driving habitual behaviors that have negative consequences, such as binge eating large quantities of food, feeling out of control, which leads to restrictive eating that's fueled by guilt, which all keeps you stuck in this emotional eating loop. So before I get into how to navigate and prevent emotional eating episodes, it's important to make sure that what you're labeling as emotional eating is actually that. I talk a lot about the importance of honoring your hunger throughout the day and eating enough to keep your body fueled to prevent binge episodes later in the day that are driven by deprivation. When you restrict and cut back on the amount of food you eat during the day, your body gets the message that you're starving. So it switches into survival mode, and the intense cravings and increased hunger are your body's way of protecting you. So before we label eating as emotional eating, we need to make sure you're eating consistently and that the hunger isn't actually biological hunger. Understanding the difference between emotional hunger versus physical hunger can often be really difficult. So how can you tell the difference? Well, when it's physical hunger, you'll often feel physical sensations in your stomach, including emptiness, growling, grumbling, or a gnawing feeling. And the physical sensations come on slowly, and the desire for food may be less specific. Now, the physical sensations may sometimes be accompanied by fatigue or difficulty concentrating or maybe some moodiness. And these are generally experienced, somewhere around 3 hours after eating something that was satisfying, although it may occur sooner after eating if what you last ate was inadequate and wasn't sustaining. Now, what about emotional hunger? Well, unlike physical hunger, emotional hunger tends to come on suddenly and it can feel intense and urgent. And it's triggered by a need for comfort, and sometimes it's really to distract or numb ourselves from a negative emotion, including things like anxiety or stress or anger or sadness. And the desire and craving for food is often very specific. You're craving a specific type of food, and it often occurs independent of the last time you ate. So when the sudden and urgent drive to eat comes on, when you know you're not physically hungry, well, what can you do? The first thing that you want to do is stop and check in. So ask yourself, what is it that I'm thinking and I'm feeling right now? Our emotions are there to communicate important things to us, so it's really helpful to gain a better understanding of what's triggering emotional eating and identify what is it that we really need in those moments when we want to eat when we're not hungry. Now, typically, a chronic dieter's approach to overcoming emotional eating is to focus on the food that they're eating. So doing things like using macro or point systems, restricting certain foods or whole food groups, or only allowing themselves to eat at certain times of day. And these restrictive behaviors are never going to be solutions for emotional eating. In fact, for many people, the more they focus on food, the more out of control their emotional eating becomes. And that's because it's not about the food or motivation or willpower. It's actually about thoughts and feelings. As human beings, I think we sometimes feel entitled to feel happy all the time, but the human experience was never meant to be 100% positive. Negative emotion is part of the human experience, and in fact, life tends to be more 50-50. And it's the negative emotion that makes positive emotion possible. And when we think about positive emotions that we experience, they aren't always intense or extreme. Sometimes we feel exhilarated and other times we feel content. It's the same with our negative emotions. Sometimes we feel great sadness and sometimes we simply feel a little boredom. Now, when we experience a negative emotion, even something as simple as boredom, it's common to seek out a buffer to divert ourselves away from what we're feeling. And I use the term buffering to refer to any action that we take to avoid feeling a negative emotion. And it comes from our desire to experience more pleasure than pain. Now, using food as a buffer is very common. And there are plenty of other ways that we buffer, including, drinking wine or buying things or even exercising or zoning out on social media can be used to buffer our emotions. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. It's only when we're consistently using them to keep from experiencing our feelings that they become a problem. So when you experience a negative emotion and you consistently look to food to relieve it, what you're really doing is training your brain to think that food is the solution to help you feel better. And temporarily, it may do just that. The more that you perpetuate this behavior, however, the more it becomes an unconscious response. And of course, food doesn't solve the problem, does it? When we eat to avoid a negative emotion, it's often a trade-off, and our solution to avoid feeling bad now simply creates a new negative emotion we're left to deal with after overeating or after a binge eating episode. So I'm feeling sad or lonely. I'm not physically hungry, but I eat to distract myself from feeling bad. Fast forward, and now I'm overly full. I've traded my sadness and my loneliness for feelings of disgust or guilt or shame, adding an uncomfortable physical consequence and another layer of negative emotion. So when you take a step back and you allow this to register in your brain, you can begin to connect the dots and recognize that eating to avoid a feeling or a negative emotion will ultimately lead to actually feeling worse. So you want to stop and take a breath and dial inward. Identify and name the specific emotion that you're feeling in that moment. So maybe you're feeling sad or lonely, anxious, uncertain, insecure, or simply a little bored. Now, the next thing that you need to do is identify the thought that's triggering what you're feeling. So to begin with breaking this cycle, you really need to identify what's triggering the emotions you're seeking to avoid. And those emotions often have some important information for you. So they're going to be telling you what you're thinking right now and often illuminate what you've been believing. Other times, the real learning and change comes when we simply are willing to feel the emotion in the moment without resisting or without pushing it away. Now, there is always a thought that precedes any feeling that we have, and it's our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that work together to produce our results. So to get to the heart and resolve emotional eating issues, it's extremely helpful to examine that intimate relationship that exists between thoughts, feelings, and actions. And here's something that I want you to think about. Our thoughts are actually optional. They definitely may feel true to us, especially if we've been believing them for a long time. But as humans, we do have the ability to analyze and change our thoughts. So we have the capability to metaphorically look under the hood of our brains and examine the thoughts that tend to lead to emotional eating episodes. And this will provide awareness and then allow you to see what your thoughts are creating for you in terms of the actions you take and how those actions impact your results. You actually do get to decide if a thought is serving you, and if not, you can focus on shifting toward a thought that's more productive. And let me give you an example of how thoughts can lead to emotional eating. So let's say that you had a long week and your circumstance is you're at the tail end of a 50-hour work week. And so maybe you have thought that something like this. You think, well, it's Friday and I deserve pizza and wine after this crazy week that I just had. Well, the feeling that that might evoke may be feeling entitled. And so some actions you may take from there is you pick up some pizza and wine on your way home from work. Okay, not a problem. And then maybe you quickly scarf down 2/3 of that large pizza and you wash it down with a few glasses of wine. And then 20 minutes later, you're raiding the pantry for something sweet and you eat half a dozen Oreos. Well, now you're feeling a little uncomfortable, so you change into some sweatpants to alleviate the discomfort and you lay on the couch with a stomach ache from overeating. Then what happens? Well, probably start engaging in a ton of negative self-talk, like, why can't I control myself around carbs? There's definitely something wrong with me. I was good all week and now I blew it. Now, of course, immediately following all of that negative self-talk is the vow to start a new diet on Monday. And since you're starting a new diet on Monday, well, probably going to finish off the Oreos, right? So you can see how this thought, I deserve pizza and wine after the crazy week I just had, resulted in a crazy and chaotic eating episode that resulted in perpetuating more negative emotion on the heels of what was already feeling like a chaotic week. And keep in mind, your brain, it's going to do an amazing job of finding all kinds of evidence to prove your original thought true. Now, when you see how your thought is triggering an emotional eating episode, well, that's when you can focus on reframing that unproductive thought to one that feels more neutral and is more productive and will serve you better and help to prevent emotional eating. So let's look at that same scenario with a little bit of a different thought. So worked a 50-hour work week, and maybe the thought is something like, you know what, I could really use a nice meal, hot bath, and a quiet night in after this long week. And so that might evoke actually a feeling of being maybe eager. So you pick up a pizza and maybe a salad from your local restaurant. You then get home and you mindfully eat dinner at the table, or maybe you go outside on your deck or patio. You light a candle. Maybe you put on some soft music for ambiance. Then later in the evening, have a cup of tea with a couple cookies while you're taking a bubble bath, and then end the night watching your favorite movie because it makes you feel good. And so the result is, in this scenario, an evening that was exactly what was needed to relax and recharge. And so as you can see, your brain will do the same thing when you start believing new thoughts. This is a great example of how consciously finding thoughts that serve you can move you away from emotional eating and forward on your intuitive eating journey. Now, this is only one quick example, but hopefully it gives you insight into how our thoughts are actually optional and how we can really start working to shift toward thoughts that create a more neutral or positive emotions. Now, once you have clarity around your feelings and what's triggering the emotion, the next thing that you need to do is identify what it is that you really need in that moment. And so you want to stop and ask yourself, what do I need right now? I'm feeling this type of emotion. I'm being triggered by these thoughts. What's going to be most helpful? In some cases, it may be self-care. Maybe you need to take a break. Maybe you need sleep. Maybe you need to set better boundaries or say no. Maybe you need to address some specific issues with life balance, or you need to find some better ways to manage stress more effectively. Now, sometimes it's about need for pleasure. So can you swap eating for another pleasurable activity that will recharge and rejuvenate you? So instead of eating, maybe you could take a walk outside, read a magazine, call a friend, watching a paint tutorial on YouTube, and then get out your watercolor paint and paint a picture. Like whatever it is that lights you up and brings you joy and feels pleasurable is something that can really help move you away from that emotional eating episode. In some cases, you may just need to come up with ways to manage the emotion more effectively. And so sometimes that is about challenging that negative thought, like I just shared. In other cases, it may be just needing to sit with and process through the emotion till it passes. And then there may be times where you need to deal directly with something that you're avoiding, and doing so will help really manage that emotion. Now, once you've identified what your unmet need is in that moment, it's going to be much easier to determine what you can do instead of eating. Now, in a perfect world, you would notice what you're thinking and feeling, identify that you need something specific in that moment, and then you could directly respond to get that need met. For example, maybe you're working at your desk when the urge to eat hits, and then you check in and you realize that, oh, I'm not really hungry. Maybe I'm actually feeling a little antsy and distracted. And maybe it's because the project that I'm working on is feeling a little challenging, or maybe there's work that I'm doing that's requiring close attention to detail. And what you really need in that moment is a break, to go outside, take 5 or 10 minutes to get some fresh air. Now, when you avoid turning to food and use an alternative coping strategy instead of food, you want to make sure that you're consciously acknowledging that you're making a conscious choice and that you're getting your true need met. This is going to help your brain associate that the action you're taking is addressing the emotion and meeting your need. What do you do when you can't get your needs met in the moment? Now, if you feel the need for a break, but you can't take one for some reason, maybe you're stuck in a meeting or you're on a work call, you still want to acknowledge what you're feeling and give yourself compassion for the fact that you can't get that need met in the moment. Compassion is really an important part of the journey to becoming an intuitive eater and managing emotional eating. Self-compassion is so important that I've actually included it in the first module of my course, the Intuitive Eating Academy. And that's because self-compassion is key to making any lasting changes in your life. And here's why. Self-compassion is associated with well-being, increased feelings of happiness, and greater personal initiative to make needed changes in your life. So it's not about feeling sorry for yourself or letting yourself go. It's about acknowledging what we're feeling, offering ourselves kindness, comfort, and care, as well as being our own coach and cheerleader. So it's really about treating yourself and speaking to yourself in a way that you would speak to a dear friend or a loved one. So in the example I used where you're in need of a break and you can't take one in the moment, slow down. Take a few deep breaths, maybe rub your neck and shoulders. Acknowledge that you're in touch with your needs and make it a priority to take a break at the first opportunity to do so. Take a moment to plan what you're going to do on that break and acknowledge the fact that you are not using food in this moment to manage your emotions. So to recap, when the urge to eat hits and you're not physically hungry, the first thing you want to do is stop and check in. What are you thinking and what are you feeling right now? What's the thought that's triggering the feeling? And once you have a clear picture of the thought that's triggering an urge to eat when you're not hungry, you can focus on reframing the thought to one that feels more neutral, that will serve you better, and can help prevent emotional eating. The next thing you want to do is identify what you really need in the moment. So stop and ask yourself, what do I need right now? Once you've uncovered your unmet needs, it becomes much easier to identify what you can do to meet those needs. Maybe it's some form of self-care or finding sources of pleasure beyond food that is going to help you meet your need, or maybe it's addressing a conflict before it gets bigger or setting better boundaries. Then you want to identify what you'll do instead of eat. Now, when I'm working with clients who are struggling with emotional eating, I encourage them to create a list of alternative things they can do in the moment when the urge to eat hits and they aren't physically hungry. So maybe today you can start creating your own list of coping strategies. Do it on your phone, or maybe you do it in a journal. And be sure to include a variety of things that will work in different circumstances. So there's likely going to be different things that you'll be able to do when you're at work versus at home, maybe while you're driving or in various social situations. You'll be much better prepared to identify an effective coping strategy to use in the moment when you've spent time identifying these in advance. Come up with as many strategies as you can think of and then start trying them out and keep adding to your list as new ideas come up. Now remember, this work is never about perfection, but progress. Self-compassion, it's your secret weapon to keeping you moving forward and making positive changes in how you manage your emotions without using food, and also in helping you create a peaceful and healthy relationship with food. Now, our relationship with food, it really doesn't need to be dramatic and complicated. I look forward to continuing to support you as you work on challenging negative thoughts and feelings and shift toward a healthier mindset with food in your body. So until next time, I hope you take good care. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Finding Freedom with Food podcast. Make sure to check out the show notes for any resources mentioned in this episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave the show a review and let me know what you want to hear more of. Leaving a review will also help others get inspiration, support, and resources to help them on their food freedom journey. If you found this episode helpful, share it on social media and don't forget to tag me at finding.freedom.with.food on Instagram and finding freedom with food without the dots on other social media platforms. And remember, you were not put on this earth to live life obsessed with what you eat and caught up in a never-ending battle with your body. So keep focusing on tuning out the diet culture voices and turning up the volume of your body's amazing intuition.